Can you imagine what winter would be like without Christmas? I imagine it would be pretty miserable. If you're familiar with The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, in that book, C.S. Lewis talks about how it was always winter, but never Christmas. And that was him trying to get over the most miserable thing he could possibly think of, is going through a winter without Christmas. Because when you think about winter time, you get into September and it's still light and the weather's still okay. And you're still riding the wave of summer. In October, you're probably getting busy with school or at work and there's lots of things to do. And then the clocks change and you're into November and it starts becoming really miserable and dark. But John Lewis advert comes out. Fairy lights start going up, and you just start thinking to yourself, but it'll be Christmas soon. Even if you don't particularly like Christmas, I bet that you wouldn't want to have a winter without Christmas. And that is because each and every one of us is wired to live for hope, to get through our winters, and indeed to get through our whole lives. We need some kind of hope, something to look forward to. Something to get us through the darker days. And that's where Christmas is so helpful, to get us through the winter, but it also points us to something so much greater and grander, the hope that we all need. And when we're talking about hope, and when the Bible talks about hope, it doesn't use it in the way that we often use it, well, where we say things like, well, I hope everything will be okay, or I hope everything will work out just fine in the end. We use it in a wishful thinking sort of a way. But in the Bible, the word hope has more of a certainty to it. It means like an anticipation of a future reality. That's what hope in the Bible is all about. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning as we look at this verse. I'll let you do it, Rachel, because I think this clicker's not working. If you bring up the verse there, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. This verse is all about a God of hope who causes us to become people of hope. And not just having a little bit of hope, but you see it there, that we may abound in hope, that we may overflow with hope, that we may be filled right up with hope. Now, the book of Romans is, if you like, the A to Z of Christianity. The writer, who's called the Apostle Paul, has been going to great lengths to explain what the Christian message is all about. He's told us who we are. He's told us who God is. He's told us what's wrong with the world. And he's told us how God has come in the person of Jesus to fix everything that was wrong with the world. And as he's working his way through, he lays things out in extraordinary detail and pretty intense logic. But right at the end of it, he comes to this prayer. And you see the heart of what he wants for these people that he's writing to, which back in the day was the Romans, but now applies to us here this morning. So after all this teaching, what is it that Paul ultimately wants for God's people? Well, he wants them to have hope, and not just any old hope, but abounding hope, overflowing hope. And this prayer teaches us three things this morning. It teaches us that hope comes from God. It teaches us that hope comes through Jesus. And it teaches us that hope comes by believing. So let's first of all look at hope comes from God. As we think about the first part of the verse, may the God of hope. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again, partly because it works and partly because I doubt any of you remember it, so it's fine. When I was a teenager, I went camping with some friends, and we were up the side of a mountain in Wales, and we were staying in like a teepee sort of tent. So there was one big pole in the middle, and there were no other poles. And the wind was blowing and the rain was falling, And unfortunately, the pole in this tent was broken. So we spent the whole night scrabbling around with the tent blowing everywhere, trying to find our way around, trying to fix this pole so that we could have at least some dry, warm sleep. And that really helps us think about what this world is like when we turn our backs on God. Because you see, God made this world. That's something that however much we try to deny it, however much we try to suppress that, it's not something that we can easily do because we see God's fingerprints all over this world. We see the way that he has designed this whole world. And it's something that is very difficult for us to truly deny. The fingerprints of design are everywhere. And although we deny it, these things bubble out of us. And we know deep down that somebody has made this world. And because this world appears designed, we therefore conclude that there must be a designer. And if there is a designer, therefore that must mean that they are at the center of this whole world. And yet when we turn our backs on that designer, when we turn our backs on God, if you like, the whole tent falls down. Life becomes unlivable. And what Paul is saying here is, if you want hope, if you want a life of certainty, a life of meaning, of purpose, of value, we have to return to God. We have to go back to him. If we want hope, we have to start with God. He is the God of hope. So let me ask you this morning. Is this how you are looking for hope? Are you starting with God or are you starting with other things? So as I said at the start, Christmas reminds us that we are wired to live for hope. We're designed to live that way. We live our whole lives always looking forward to the next big thing. And on a larger scale, just as we think about how Christmas gets us through winter, on a larger scale, we need to think about the hope that we have to get us not only through this life, but through the life to come. And for that hope, we have to come back and start with God. So that's the hope that we look for. We look to God to give us this hope. As the tent of this world falls down, we have to return to our Maker, to our Creator, to our Designer, because he is the one who ultimately gives hope. Well, how does this hope come about? Well, this hope, our second point is, our hope comes through Jesus. Now, you, those of you who are eagle-eyed will say, but Jesus isn't mentioned in this verse. Well, if you wouldn't mind just parking that thought, we'll come back to it in a moment. But we're just going to think for a moment about these two words, joy and peace. They're very Christmassy sort of words, the sort of thing that you might see on the front of a Christmas card. These are two very Christmassy words, but do we ever think about what they really mean? So think about joy, first of all. And when I use the word joy, I want to help define it for you according to how the Bible uses the word joy. Not maybe how we would use it in a more general sense, but specifically how the Bible uses the word joy. And the first thing to say about the word joy is that it is a feeling. It's an emotion, if you like. It's something that we feel inside of us. It's not something that we can necessarily easily decide, but it is something that we feel within us. But before you say, well, isn't that just like happiness? Isn't that just like, I mean, can you take drugs and feel joy? Well, no, this is something much deeper. This is something that goes beyond chemistry. This is something that just goes beyond just the here and now. This is something deep. Because when the Bible uses the word joy, it connects it often to the soul. This is something that we feel deeply within us. And that means that it's not something that is affected by the here and now. It's not something that is affected by circumstances or chemistry or biology. This is something that is very deep. And it's more than happiness, because happiness can come and go in an instant, but joy stays deep within us and it stays with us. And as we see from this verse, joy is something that is given to us by God. It's not something that we can conjure up by ourselves. Joy is something that God gives to us. So that's joy. It's a feeling, it's something deep within us, and it's something that's given to us by God. Now, the next word, peace. What does the word peace mean? Well, again, I want to think about how the Bible uses the word peace. Not so much about how we use it, but how the Bible uses it. We often think about peace in a negative sense. So we think about peace being the absence of war or the absence of conflict. So maybe you might say, well, things are peaceful because I'm not arguing with my brothers or sisters. But when the Bible talks about peace, it means something positive. So not only are you not arguing with your brothers and sisters, but you're playing with them. You're doing something fun together. We might say, well, this workplace is peaceful because me and my colleagues aren't fighting. We're not gossiping. We're not backbiting at the moment. It's a peaceful place to work. But that's not how the Bible uses the word peace, because it uses it positively. So what the Bible would say is your workplace is peaceful if you're actually getting together, you're working as a team, and you're achieving your goals together. That is how the Bible uses the word peace. So here are these two words, joy and peace. Words that we use often, but words that have slightly different meanings in the Bible. And what Paul says here is that these words are the building blocks of hope. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. He's saying that joy and peace are what make up the hope that we have. So if we want to know true hope, we need to experience and know joy and peace in our lives. And going back to thinking about that tent that was falling down, the Bible says that we don't experience peace and joy because we've turned our back on the source of hope and peace and joy, who is God. So if we want to experience peace and joy, we have to turn back to this source of hope, who is God. But you might say, what has this got to do with Jesus? Well, the reading that we had was from Luke chapter 2. And let me just read you a few verses from there again. Luke chapter 2 says this, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angels came and they said, with the coming of this baby, with the coming of this Jesus, also comes with joy and peace. If you want joy and peace, the angels are saying, you need to look to this baby. You need to look to this Jesus. Because they're saying that Jesus is the one who came into this world to restore our joy and our peace. Well, how did he do that? Well, Luke reminded us, or the angels rather reminded us, as it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus was the one who came to restore this joy and this peace because he was the one who came to be the Saviour. Jesus grew to be a man who would die. He would die in our place to deal with our rejection of God. It may not feel like it, but rejecting God is the greatest injustice and it's the greatest tragedy in the whole world. And it must require death because God is the source of all life. If we do something as tragic and as unjust as turning our back on the maker of this whole world, that is something that requires death because God himself is the source of all life. We are turning our back on life and choosing death instead. But Jesus came into this world as the Savior to stand in our place, to be the one who would die instead of us. And this is how he came to restore our joy and our peace. So if we want peace and joy in our lives, we have to return to God. He is the source of all hope. And we have to turn to his Savior, his Son Jesus, who, as the angel said, came to bring this joy and this peace that we all need to live a life of hope. And so finally, then, we come to our third point, and it's this, that hope comes by believing. Hope comes by believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, or as you believe, or as you trust in God. As we're trusting in God, this is how we will receive this joy and this peace and this hope. And trusting or believing in God on one level sounds quite easy. And in many ways it is. It is simple. All we have to do is look to God and trust in him. And in many ways it is, but it's actually probably one of the most difficult things in the whole world, which is why we need God's help, the help of his Holy Spirit, to help us to do it. Because when we turn to trust in God, it means that we have to turn away from trusting in ourselves. Because we spend our whole lives trusting in ourselves to bring hope and joy and peace. Just for a few moments, let's just think about how we spend our lives trying to bring these things into our own lives ourselves. Think about hope. As I mentioned, we all look to Christmas to bring some degree of hope. But we do this all the time, don't we? We are always putting things in the diary to bring us some hope, to get us through the next few months, whether that's a holiday, whether that's an experience, whether that's going to a game, whatever that might be. We're always putting things in the diary to try and bring us hope. These things aren't bad. Indeed, they can be very good because they remind us, they prove to us that we need something greater. But they aren't enough to bring us that long-lasting, eternal, certain hope that we need. So that's how we try and bring hope into our lives without God. Think about peace. Man, we all want peace, don't we? We all want to get away from the noise of life, whether that's the noise of other people or just the noise of our own brains. We all want some peace. But how do we go about trying to get some peace? Well, there's two things I think we do. We either try and distract ourselves or we try and dictate our lives. When we distract ourselves, maybe we just watch TV endlessly. We play on our phones. We play on our computers. We keep ourselves busy just to try and distract ourselves from the noise of life. We try and distract ourselves to bring peace. But we also sometimes try and dictate our lives. We try and organize our lives so much that nothing else can get in. That there can be no change, if you like, to the plan. We try and dictate everything so that every single moment of our day is planned and we hope will be perfect. But we know that we can never do that. However much we plan, however much we dictate, however much we try and dominate our lives and the lives of others, we will never find true peace. And then think about joy. Think about how we try and bring joy into our lives. Well, we can do it in two ways. We can either go the pleasure route or the pain route. In the pleasure route, we try and use our money and food and sex and other experiences to try and make ourselves happy, to try and make ourselves feel some sort of positive experience, some kind of positive vibe in our life. We try to bring pleasure in to give us joy, but we know that that all falls apart. The other way, ironically, is to go the route of pain. We think if we just work harder, if we just do more, that eventually we'll have some joy. We'll go up the ladder. People will respect us if we just put ourselves through enough pain. But none of these things lead to joy. These paths don't lead anywhere. In fact, the Bible warns us that not only do they not lead anywhere, but they lead to death. Only turning and trusting in God can bring these things to us. Only by turning to the source of all these things, the God of hope, can we find true hope, true peace, and true joy in our Saviour, Jesus. So what now for us? Well, for those of us who are Christians, let's try and remember just how good the good news of Jesus is. Paul here wants us to be filled with hope, to experience peace and joy. If you're anything like me, you won't be experiencing these things all the time. But that doesn't mean that we cannot experience these things. That doesn't mean that we should pursue these things. We must pursue these things. We must remember that the good news truly is good news. It's a good news that brings hope and peace and joy. Maybe you're not experiencing these things this morning. That's okay. That's okay. However, we mustn't just leave it there. We mustn't just think that because we are Christians, we must go through life miserable and lacking in any hope and peace and joy. God has promised these things to us, and we can pursue these things, and we can know them for ourselves. Let's not take... I know sometimes we can feel a bit uncomfortable at Christmas time that there's so much kind of jolliness and superficiality. But let's not let the culture out there rob us of our hope and of our peace and our joy. We must go for something greater than this world can ever offer through presents or food or anything else at Christmas time. But maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. Well, what do you need to do? Well, you can speak to God. You can ask him for this hope, for this joy, for this peace that is found in Jesus. You can speak to him and ask him for these things. If you've got questions, then ask away. However difficult they are for you to ask, and however difficult they are for us to answer, ask away. Pursue these things. You're always welcome to come to any of our services, but particularly to our carol service this evening. We would love to see you there. But whoever we are, whether we're a Christian or whether we're not yet a Christian, each of us needs to turn away from these paths that lead nowhere, these paths that lead to death, and turn and trust in the God of hope. And we can speak to him and ask him to fill us with peace and joy so that each of us would abound in hope. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for these things that you've promised to us. We thank you so much that we do not have to live a life of hopelessness, but we can live a life abounding in hope. And we pray that you would fill us, each of us, by the power of your Spirit, with that hope. And may our lives be transformed by that. For we ask it in Jesus, our Saviour's name. Amen.